in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 is a verse of scripture I mentioned to you as I was preaching Sunday, more about how to have peace with God. And we talked about that presence of the Lord. Then Brother Masao that night preached, he really preached on that presence of the Lord and what a blessing he was. And I praise God for the privilege we had to have him with us and be in the service, and thank God for it. And we're looking tonight, though, this verse 19. I just can't get it off my mind, and we'll share that with you. And I was struggling today about what to do tonight and how to approach this. But I pray God speak to us and help us and encourage us along the way. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Philippians 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to bow and pray. Lord, surely we need your help. We are helpless without you. We have nothing that within ourselves we can do. But Lord, through Christ which strengthens us, Paul said, "I can do all things." And so we pray for that divine strength, that divine help. And I ask tonight, Lord, that as we stand in this place as a needy creature, Lord, you said you supply all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God move in hearts and lives, help me, help everyone that hears. And I pray, God, you get glory and honor and praise and do what needs to be done here tonight. You know exactly what we need in our hearts, and I ask God for that help. Then I pray for those who could not come, and I'm thinking about some of our own folk that's real sick and precious folk that we know is real sick, and I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you touch and heal according to your will for your glory, or that cross may be near, that you'd help them have the peace of God that passeth understanding man so deep down inside their hearts. And God, that passion, that crossing, you said a valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that there's no darkness there. It's just good morning over yonder. And I pray, God, you make it real to their hearts and their lives and families. And we'll thank you. Then I pray again now, Lord, help us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In verse number 19, "But my God supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now in the book of Philippians, Paul's been talking to the church and endeavoring to encourage and strengthen them in the things of God. He's talked about different things. And in context here of that verse, he is talking in context about them sending aid to him while he was out preaching the gospel. And that's the context it's used in. And every time that we use that verse of scripture, we usually think about the physical things, which that definitely is a part, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But that's the context in which it's found, is in the physical context, that they had been given to him, and he was telling them that God would certainly supply their need, that they might be helped. And so I'm glad God supplies a need, that's for sure. But I could not get that thought out of my mind, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I got to think about some things that I feel like is a great need in our lives, and that how God supplied that need. And the first one is salvation. I'm glad God provides salvation. Amen. If you have salvation, you got to have a Savior. Amen. So he provided the Savior. God himself became the Savior. And we think about people helping each other and doing things for each other. God himself became man to become the Savior that he might die for us on the cross of Calvary. And he did that. So in salvation, God provided. And I praise his name and thank him that he did. I think most everybody here tonight is saved, but I don't know your heart. I don't see inside of you. But I tell you tonight one thing for sure. If you're not saved, God has provided a way for you to be saved. He is a great provider, amen. I needed salvation more than I needed anything else. I needed to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll never forget standing in El Salvador one time on a mountain looking over El Salvador. And the missionary was with said, I can't feed all these people. I can't help them build houses. I can't help them with all of that, but I can tell them about Jesus, and they can go to heaven where they can have all that. And I said, amen. That's exactly what we need to do, get the gospel out. And our dear brother Sunday night was sharing about that. And those folk, 2.some billion people in India. And I got stunned at that figure. I've read it before, but somehow it dawned on me how many people are there and need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he supplies our salvation. I got to think about this. When he saved me, the supply came from heaven. It wasn't from earth, because it's the blood over there in heaven on the mercy seat where that God looked at the blood and that Jesus has shed. Jesus is a mediator sitting in heaven. He said, I'll supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Hey, Jesus is in glory, the mediator. He mediated for me, pled my case. The blood was out on the altar and God saw the blood and thank God I got saved. And my salvation was provided through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. I praise him and thank him for that. Let me say, number two, that we need the Spirit of God. Amen. I mean, we really need the Spirit of God. There's a lot of things we think that we need, we don't really need. We want, but we don't really need it. I'm telling you, we need the Spirit of God. I'm glad we have him. Amen. And how's he provided? Through Jesus Christ. Out of the heaven's glory, amen. You remember in John 16 and verse number 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I'm glad I know he got there because the Holy Spirit got here. And now because of that supplying of the Holy Spirit, I have the Spirit of God in my heart. Jesus supplied that. I supplied him, not that, but him. And I'm glad, praise God, that it's real of the Holy Spirit living within me. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And I have someone that lives with him. There's a new creature on the inside. A new birth took place. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And let me remind you of something, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And we can quench the Holy Spirit. May God help us not to grieve him nor quench him, but to let him have his way, magnify him. And he doesn't magnify himself, he magnifies Jesus. He always talks about Jesus. He always points to Jesus. Holy Spirit did not come to magnify himself. He came to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that he does. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will talk about Jesus. He'll be a witness for Christ Jesus if you're filled with the Spirit of God. And Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. And I was telling our folks Sunday in Sunday school, I used to wonder about that verse of Scripture, talking about being drunk and the Holy Spirit all at the same time. But drunk people do things they wouldn't do if they wasn't drunk. I've seen people sing, they wouldn't sing if they wasn't drunk. And I've had some I couldn't find. I'd have to have a private eye detective try to find them, and the FBI if they're sober. But when they got drunk, they'd hunt me up. And I remember a fella from Rotary, he used to hunt me up all the time when he got drunk. And he'd come see me. Now, I don't know. I can go working with him when he got drunk. He just didn't know what he'd doing, so he'd come anyhow. And the rest of the time, he'd hide. But what I'm trying to say is that drunk, and drunks are generous. They'll buy for everybody and go home, not have a penny. Baby be hungry, but they'll spend it on drink, amen, and friends. And that's people that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I just thought I'd plug that in. Amen. They're generous. Amen. They'll give the things they wouldn't give to otherwise. And Yeah, if you feel the Spirit of God, it makes you want to give, amen, to the things of God, and just get involved in it, you just want to be a help to it. And praise God, God always has a way of supplying that need, amen. He said, I'll supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit of God, I'm talking about what we really need now. I'm not talking about what we want. I'm talking about what we really need. I am thankful that God gives us what we need in salvation in Christ Jesus. It's eternal salvation. It's not for a little while. And I can't do anything myself, much less than try to do something myself. I can't do anything. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the Holy Spirit come to abide within me. I really need him because he's my guide, he's my help, and he gives me his word. He's the author of the word of God, by the way. Amen. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that means the Holy Spirit's the author of this book. And so this is a book that you and I have to guide us. It's our guidebook. It's our handbook. And God gave it to us and the Holy Spirit wrote it. If you know the author, it sure does help you when you're reading the book. Because you know something about the character of the author. You know something about that person, that individual. And as you read their book, I've read things that Don Farmers wrote. And man, I identify real quickly about what he's writing about because I know how he preaches. I've been in his home. I know how he thinks. I've been with him in revival meetings. I know what he does. And when he's writing, I can identify with it because I know the author of the book. Amen. He's done. Brother Steve Dixon up in Chastore Baptist Church up in Urban, Tennessee, wrote a few books. And as I read those, I know some things he's gone through personally. As I read those, I can understand more what he's talking about because I know him. And I know what he's writing about and what he's saying in that book. I say, amen. I'm glad I know the author of this book. Amen. And knowing him, when I read this book, then I know something about him. It helps me to understand this book, and he helps me to understand this book. And it's good. Amen. I'm glad I have my needs supplied in salvation, my needs supplied in the Spirit of God. But I want to show you something in verse number 13 of that same chapter that I read tonight. And let's back up verse 11 before we go to 13. Verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he also gives a provision not only of salvation and of the Holy Spirit, but he also gives a provision of satisfaction. And we need that in our day to be satisfied. Amen. People try to get. I want. But Paul said, and when he said, I've learned in whatever state, he wasn't talking about North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia. He talking about whatever condition he found himself in. Amen. And so what state are you in tonight? Paul said it didn't make any difference. Whether he was in jail, whether he was free, whether he was preaching, whether he's teaching, whether he's persecuting him. He said, I learned just to be content. Whatever I'm doing, I'm satisfied because I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm saved. Holy Spirit lives within. And so I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. And so if I'm somewhere and they're persecuting me, it's because God allowed it. And so I'm satisfied in that. And I'll have to be honest with you. These times I have to look back up and say, now, boy, you need to look at this and think about what Paul said. He said he's satisfied in whatever state he was in. I may not be in the best state. I may not be feeling the best. I may be having physical problems. I may be having financial problems. I may be having a spiritual, whatever it is. Paul said, I've learned. Now I'm back up on that spiritual part because if we're not where we need to be there, we need to do something about that. Amen. Let God help us do something about it. But let God work it. We may not, and when we talk about the spiritual, let me say this. We may not be as spiritual as somebody else. And we may not be doing, but we're trying. We're working at it. Young converts are trying. They're studying. They're praying. You be content with where you are. You're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And God doesn't expect you to act like and know as much as some older Christian been saved for years, read the Bible and prayed, been a prayer warrior and a witness for years and years. And you as a young Christian, you may be wrestling with some things that we have got beyond and going on with, but that don't mean you can't be satisfied with where you are. Just keep on being satisfied in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, amen. And well, I plug this in while I'm at it. I hope you're satisfied with the preaching. I'm talking about being satisfied now. If you're not satisfied with the preaching, pray for him. And one person wrote a bunch of things one time what to do. If you want to get rid of your preacher, one thing was pray for him. He'll preach himself to death. Amen. If not that, some other church will come by and get him because they don't want it. And so, but anyway, pray for him. And the singing ought to satisfy us. Amen. And we got good singers, and whether they can sing or not, if they're loving God and got up and made a joyful noise, we still ought to thank God and be satisfied. Amen. Satisfied whatever state we're in the church. Things don't always go to suit me, don't always go to suit you, but we ought to be satisfied in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. I'm looking to him for my satisfaction, amen? It's in Jesus Christ. The preacher will never satisfy you at all times. I don't care who your pastor is, he'll never satisfy you at all times. There'll be times you'll say, I wonder about that. And is that really right, or did he, you know, that'd be times, but we can be satisfied as long as that man's a man of God, preaching the word of God, doing what God said. And like, amen, some, I know we have preferences and all that kind of stuff, and then we certain people have certain friends, and we hear about cliques all the time, about churches having cliques. Everybody has certain friends and certain people they fellowship with more than they do other people, and that's a natural thing and happens everywhere in your family. There's some people in your family that you're closer to than you are other people in your family. Does that mean you love them more than you love the other one? That mean that you're close? But why in the church do we have to make such a kadoo about it? Amen. I'm just tossing that out. Amen. I hadn't heard that lately, praise God. And I'm glad I had. But I'm just tossing this out to you. And we need to focus in on the fact of Christ Jesus is our satisfaction. I'm satisfied in him. Fact is, I'm satisfied with the salvation he gave me. I'm satisfied with the Holy Spirit he gave me. I'm satisfied with the book he gave me. I'm satisfied with the church he gave me. I'm satisfied with the people he gave me to work with. I'm just satisfied, amen, in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Now look at verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now he provides our strength. I'm glad he does, amen. And Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. And I may have some weaknesses in the body physically, but I'm glad, thank God, we can have strength in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Somebody said, preacher, I can't do that. And I mentioned this Sunday, I believe, about getting up and preaching. Every time I'm sitting down over there or wherever I am, I out that door a while ago and come back in here, I knew I was walking to this pulpit. I knew I had to come in here and preach. I stand outside that door. I was listening to people praying. I got to praying. Lord, I've got to go in that pulpit. I got to have something to give them that they can get some help from. I need you. I need you desperately to help me. I mean that with all my heart. My heart cries to God to help us preach. Help us in this. Strengthen us. Give us that we need. Amen. I remember the story about Gideon in the Old Testament. You remember him? And I get a little tickle sometimes reading about Gideon because Gideon was hiding from the Midianites and thrashing. And the Bible said he's hiding. And God came by and he said, oh, thou man of valor. And there he was hiding. And God saw something in him the rest of us wouldn't have saw. We'd have said he's a coward. But God said, I see something in him. I'm going to do something with him. And I'm going to use him. I'm glad God takes the somebodies and nobodies and makes somebody out of them. Amen. And when you feel your weakest is when God can use you the most. When you feel like you can't do it, you're a good candidate for God to do something for you. Amen. And I like it that way. And I like that song in Rochester said, I like it. Amen. I like it that way. I'm glad it's that way. Listen, I'm telling you, he strengthens us. He helps us. Somebody said, preacher, I can't witness to anybody. Why don't you let God help you? Amen. He strengthens us to do what? Let me get back to Gideon. I can't get away from Gideon. Gideon was out there hiding, and God came by and called him old man of valor, began to talk to him, and he said, I can't do it. And God said, how are you going to do it? And he sent him out there, and you know the story, and how he tore down some things of Baal and all that. But then he's going to go fight a battle. Got him a whole bunch of people. I mean, had thousands of them. And looked pretty good. And God said, you got too many. Got too many. Well, the Mennonites are like grasshoppers down there in that valley. And you're telling me we got too many? He said, got too many. Tell all of them afraid to go home.
think he lost somewhere around 22,000 or something like that. He lost a bunch of folk right there. Then said, you still got too many. And said, I want you to take them down to the riverside, and we're going to try them out and see which ones you're going to take with you. And the ones that lapped it up like a dog and looked, watched for the enemy, he said, you take him. Didn't have 300 of them, and the rest of them went home. He wound up with 300 men and a bunch of Mennonites down there, looked like thousands of them, and he's supposed to go down there and fight them. And I remember he's the man that's hiding over here. He's a man afraid. And God come by and God said, I want you to go and I want you to lead the people and I want you to do it. And you know the story how he did it. And divided them three groups and blew the trumpet and broke the jars they had. By the way, God never used anything that's broken. Light never shined that's broke. Broke the jar and the light shined. And they shouted, and I say hallelujah. That's what we need to be. Broken vessels letting the light shine. Letting the strength of God, it wasn't that vessel, it wasn't that lie, it wasn't that shout, but it was because of obedience to God, and God let the Mennonites hear it and see it, and God used it, and God's power moved, and the Mennonites got to killing each other and running over each other, and fled from that place, and Gideon won the victory. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, we as God's people can do the same thing. We feel like I feel like a coward sometimes. Amen. I feel inadequate. I feel like I don't know what to do. I feel like sometimes how can I preach to those people? How can I do this? And how can I witness that fellow over there or that man over there, that woman over? How am I going to do this? But God comes by and says, "I'm your strength. I'll strengthen you to do what I want you to do." And God always gives the strength for us to do what he wants us to do if we'll do what he wants us to do. But why should he strengthen us if we're not going to do what he wants us to do? But then let me get to the last thing. But my God supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In context, he is talking about physical things. I'm glad God does provide for us physically in all things. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. I was talking to someone today, it's here tonight, and we was talking about how God has provided for him when it looked like he's no way, looked like he couldn't make it, looked like he's absolutely no hope. God come through, and God did something to help them make it. Amen. Did you know God always does that for his people? Amen. And God will help his people. And if you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. The physical will come if we have need of. He didn't say all your physical wants. He didn't say all that. He said everything you need, I'll give to you. And I believe God takes care of his children. Amen. I remember the prophet been down there by the brookside, and the ravens brought him the bread. And he ate that and drunk out of the brook till it dried up. Hey, I believe those ravens went by Ahab's house and picked up some bread off his table out his window and took it down there to his prophet. Ahab wanted to kill him and couldn't find him. And God said, I'll take care of you. Amen. I just love that story too. I get into that. Praise God. God supplied the need and dropped it every day, every morning, every evening. He had something to eat. And what was he doing there? He's just waiting on God to tell him what to do. I have a hard time sometimes just waiting on God to tell me what to do because I think I got to do something. And sometimes there's nothing I can do but wait on God. I was thinking about preaching. I didn't know what to do tonight, but I'm glad I waited on God. And God, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of enjoying my own preaching tonight. Amen. My God supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And he got the bread. And then when he got the brook dried up, he looked at the brook and said, well, the brook's dry. God said, I want you to go to Zarephath. I got a widow over there, and she's going to take care of you. And go over there, and she's making a cake for her and her son, and they're going to die. And the meal was going to use all they had, and they're going to die. He said, make me one first. That sounded kind of selfish, didn't it? But you know what? God was only putting her on the spot, see if she'd obey God, do what God's man said. And she did. She didn't understand it. I guarantee you she went inside and went in there and got to looking at that meal barrel and started thinking about me and my son was going to eat this, make us a cake and die. But that man of God out there said, make me one first. And I guess she wondered in her mind, I don't understand this, but I believe I ought to obey what God said. And she just did what God said, and that meal never did dry up. Every time she went, she got more meal. I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad for the meal buyer, never drying up, amen. And he's fed. God took care of. God took care of him. And has God ever done something special for you? You ever had a real need, didn't know where it's coming from, and God just did something special for you? If you haven't, you missed a real blessing. I'm glad, praise God, God knows how to do something special for you at the right time. But God said it, I'll supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God does that by Christ, not by our doings, but not what we can come up with, but by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What we're going to do in these days, we're going to keep looking to God and asking God to help us. God shall supply all of our need. I believe that. Can't explain it always, but I believe it. Don't always know where it's going to come from, but I believe it. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to open the Word of God and think about what a great God that supplies all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I pray tonight you'd help us, that we would trust you, that we would follow you, that we witness for you, that we let you strengthen us, let you help us, and Father, you supply. We want to thank you for it. Best we know how tonight is say thank you. And thank you for salvation. And thank you for he, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for your help in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand, please?